About housing cooperatives with Jesse Thomas and Vicki Sontag. I'm going to say hello to Vicki.
Hi.
Nice to meet you, Vicki.
Thank you.
You're a new face and a new name for me.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I like to increase my visibility.
Yes.
Well, even though I'm on the radio.
Your audibility, you mean.
Yes.
Right? And Jesse Thomas. Hello, Jesse.
Hi, Phil. Thanks for having us here.
Nice to meet you. And who was the intermediary who introduced me to the two of you? Remind me, who wrote to me first?
Samuel. Samuel Swenson. He's my roommate.
Aha. Well, thank you, Samuel.
Awesome.
We're talking about the Olympic Cooperative Housing Summit. Sunday, March 24th, 3 until 5 p.m. at the Quimper Village Common House, 3105 Sage Lane in Port Townsend, down in the flats. You can find it pretty easily with your computer and your onboard, whatever device you may have. I'm going to read from either, I guess, a website. I don't know where that is. Somebody sent me this. Quote, if you belong to a housing cooperative, big or small, a cooperative-like organization, an intentional community, or are interested in exploring housing cooperatives as an alternative to the lack of affordable housing, please join us for this unique networking event. The event focuses on networking Port Townsend's cooperatives, provides opportunities to introduce your cooperative to others, offer your expertise to others, and ask for help from others. And that is roughly what you're doing. Is that true?
That is right. It will be a networking event of both existing and people interested to form cooperatives. And it doesn't have to be technically a cooperative, but cooperative-like organizations,
and
of which there are many.
Vicki, do you live in a cooperative?
I do. I live at Port Townsend Eco Village, and over the years there, we've been engaged in not only building facilities for ourselves, such as a common house, which is shared resource, but also providing low-income affordable housing. So over the last 3 years, we put in 5 units of low-income affordable housing.
And how do you define that?
Well, affordable is relative to income you make. Yes, so we always aware of that. But we're way below what the market prices are, both for rent and lease and,
So in the Eco Village, how many residential units are there?
It's kind of hard to count because there's different arrangements, but we basically have 13 lots, and some of them have, for example, a duplex on it. There's a shared house where people are co-living.
Uh-huh. So there's quite a few people there.
Yeah, we're up to now 42 people.
Holy smokes, really?
Yeah, right.
I remember people were still talking, beginning to talk about that. And now 42 people, that's like a success story, isn't it?
And not only that, it's not only, the demographic that's taking over the county, the elderly folks like me, but it also includes 5 families with children.
You have young children.
So we have 10 children in the village, so it's a wonderful thing.
And Jesse, how about you? What's your living? You have a cooperative living arrangement, or you just aspire to having one?
I guess my current living situation is cooperative-like because I live in a shared house.
Mm-hmm.
I rent. And it turns out that's the way I like to live. I spent many years living either by myself or with partners, but this is sort of a new thing, living comfortably with other people. And I find it to be a really healthy situation. And I think that there's been a long push, like in culture, like when I was brought up, of the idea is that you get a house, you have a family, you have your own house, your own land. And I don't think that really quite works anymore for everybody. And I think that we suffer from a lot of problems that stem from isolation and putting too much focus onto working, and then having relief from work, when we could be putting more focus in on building our networks, our social networks, providing the kind of support that fulfills us daily. And I think that ties in with my sort of personal quest to want to live more cooperatively with people.
When I was beginning my junior year of college in 1967, five of us, came up with this novel idea, and it seemed novel to us, and I think at the time it was, to find a large house and to rent it all together. And we did find a large house for $295 a month near the University of Washington. We were students there, and six bedrooms, and it was really successful.
Wow.
And but we didn't know it up until then. We knew of no one doing that. And now it's become very common. Yeah, and it wasn't because of the example we set. We were just one. All of a sudden, everybody was doing that. Yeah. Young people, I mean.
How long were you living there?
In that house till I graduated 2 years later.
Okay.
Then I moved on to something similar and to something similar. And then gradually ended up evolving into situations like the ones you described that you wish to avoid, and that is mommy and daddy and the babies, till the babies go away. You guys own your house?
No, I don't.
Maybe someday you will.
Vicky does.
But Vicky does, because, and Case Kolff is a name I was struggling to think of, who I think was instrumental in beginning the Eco-Village.
He's the founder.
Yeah.
We are a cooperative also in the sense of our governance. So we use a form of governance called sociocracy, and we evolve that out of doing consensus-based decision-making. So it's a little bit more flexible, and it also really encourages people listening to each other, which is part of, I think, a really healthy, successful cooperative. Not just having the chance to have your own word in there, but actually listening to each other and building off of each other's ideas. And that's what I think about when I think about cooperation.
Uh-huh. So what options are there for someone like myself who tends to be a bit of a loner? Now, I do go to meetings, I do socialize, but I really prefer to work by myself and a lot of the time be by myself. Mm. Am I fit for a cooperative arrangement?
I think so. It turns out that in many communities, the majority of people there are intentional communities. Majority of the people there are actually introverts, which you might not expect. But in our case, and in many of the other larger cooperatives, co-housing units here, what you'll see is people own their own private space, and then they share a common. So we have, for example, at the Eco Village, 7 acres, but most of that 7 acres is commonly shared, and then we have our own small lot, and I have my own house, and so forth and so on. So there's really opportunity to do many things together and to really enjoy the benefits of community and knowing the supports there. And
Go ahead, Jesse. That's the key, those extra opportunities. I think looking at a lot of survey results from different surveys that they've done, asking people, would you live in a cooperative? What would it have to be like? I think that comes up commonly as an answer, like, well, I like my alone time. I like my private space that I can go to. And a scenario like the Eco Village, like Vicky's situation, where she has a wonderful house and a lot, and she can even farm a little part of her parcel on her own, you know, that's untouched, but they share, there's so much more opportunities beyond that to engage with her immediate community. And children growing up in that kind of scenario are given lots of different roles, and they kind of, as they bounce around from family to family, they learn more adult skills, and they're prone to grow up in a more healthy environment.
It takes an eco-village.
So it's really an ideal situation.
You should see our kids. They're so happy. They're laughing all the time and running around and you know, having fun.
And I don't think that it's not just for some people. I think it's just a matter of how the village is created that suits different people's
So Jesse, threshold. Do you fancy a different arrangement from the one that you have now, just the shared household, something more along the lines of either the Eco Village or, and I guess what I'm really getting at is we have two models so far. We have your shared house, somebody else owns the house, share the house, the Eco Village, which is structured on its own land.
Yeah.
Other models, and what do you aspire to yourself?
Well, I'm not sure. I guess maybe I'm sort of searching for that perfect model. But yeah, there are many models. And
for example? Mm-hmm.
Well, one of them might be just a shared land. You can develop almost in a conventional way, but share the land between two people. That'd be a simple cooperative or co-housing arrangement. And you can decide how much you want to be in the commons or nothing at all. It depends on the people. But that shared component, I think, is what's important and what gives people kind of a financial incentive to enter an agreement like this.
So the summer... Go ahead, Vicki.
Well, I just wanted to make the point that when I got excited about it was when I made a trip to Lopez Island to visit the Lopez Community Land Trust. And they have done amazing work with a concept called limited equity housing cooperative, which actually makes it co-buying and the collective ownership much more accessible for low-income people. And in fact, they now have provided 5% of the island's housing stock at really affordable prices.
Nobody pays it. 5% of the entire island?
Of the entire island's housing stock has been built in this cooperative
model.
Through
the land trust.
Yeah, through
the
land trust.
I did not realize the number was that high.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So they have 6 or 7 villages now, and each village, it works as a cooperative, and they also help build the housing itself. So there's the sweat equity model also brings down the cost of the housing. But I think the important thing is that once you're in there and you've you're a member of the cooperative, you are going to pay no more than 30% of your income for housing. That's what it's set at. So people rent whole houses for $400.
So the two of you are fairly well comfortable in your living situation now. Oh, why are you organizing this summit?
Well, because just like we share things within the village, our resources, our expertise, we think we can share across groups as well. So, for example, skills that we develop within our living situation, such as facilitating meetings and conflict resolution, sometimes it's nice to have somebody from the outside come in. So we can share that across the different housing cooperatives in the...
Vicki just punched the microphone, but it didn't hurt his feelings. Mike is pretty tough.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Sorry there.
So what's happening at this summit? What are your plans? What's the agenda?
Okay, so the agenda is, one is for people kind of learn what's going on with each of the existing and, again, people who are interested to develop housing cooperatives and to exchange what kind of like a gifting circle. You offer what expertise you have. So for example, at the village, we do a lot of permaculture gardening. So we can consult with people on how to set up a permaculture garden system for their community. And then they can ask if you need some help with something, especially for the emerging cooperatives. They might want to know what did you do?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
are you bringing any speakers in?
Nope.
So this really is networking.
This is just getting
the people together.
Yes,
hope to learn from one another.
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And aside from Eco Village, and well, really probably Jesse's place doesn't have a name, but aside from Eco Village, and I'll say, good heavens, what's Rosemond Commons, which is another example.
Mm-hmm.
What other examples have we in Port Townsend?
Well, we have the Quimper Housing Village, which we're going to be meeting at their common house.
Uh-huh.
And so they started off as a cooperative, and we're able to do their financing that way.
Are they no longer?
There's several big ones also in the work.
Uh-huh.
Green Pied is working on developing a community, and at the corner of San Juan and Discovery is also looks like it'll be a big community. And then there's smaller people that are interested. You know, people have heard about the event and said, oh, I want to come because I've been thinking about this. And how can I do it?
So the hope is that, one, people who already are involved in co-ops can share their information, but people who would like to be may be able to meet people of like mind.
Yeah, I've heard stories of a number of people in the county that live in situations like this. Maybe it's just a simple deed agreement on their title, but they live cooperatively with other people on land. It'd be nice to see some of those people maybe come out of the woodwork and tell the stories of, you know, what they like about living, sharing things together, you know, even if it's just they share a driveway.
I can imagine some of the conversation may revolve around dealing with the regulatory authorities.
Of course, yeah.
Sure.
That's partially why we're offering our services, is to sort of help navigate that road. You know, we don't want to promote anything illegal, and so we can help with alternatives. It'd be surprising. You might be surprised of what you're allowed to do. You know, and it takes a nice fresh look at your opportunities and to compare this and that. If you're focusing on buying a property here in the county versus the city, like, let's look at the density, let's look at all these factors and really make a feasibility study out of it. That's something that we would like to help with.
And is there, I guess there then is no agenda, really? It's y'all come and talk to one another, that will be about what you're doing?
That's, in, you know, learning about each other through a networking event, I think, really helps because, you know, it helps build the culture. So one of the co-sponsors of the event is actually the Olympic Cooperative Network, which is also starting a network of business cooperatives as well as housing cooperatives.
I've not heard of this before. When did this begin?
Well, we organized last year, and we held a cooperative academy last fall. That was for 10 weeks, and the instructors came from Olympia, from the Northwest Development Cooperative Center. There's been some focus to date on helping identify businesses where the owners might be ready to retire and they want to maybe convert their business into a worker-owned co-op. And so there's a lot of interest in that. But this will be kind of one of the events that we're going to try out this format to see how we can help develop that cooperative culture. And the housing sector just is natural because we have so many housing cooperatives in Port Townsend that we ought to be celebrating.
And you won't just then focus on housing. You will also consider businesses as well?
Well, not at this event. This event's focused on housing. But in the fall, in October, we hope to have a large cooperative fair. And we'll be doing businesses and the whole range of cooperatives, of which there are many.
This is a passion for you.
Yeah. Well, I think it's the cornerstone of a sustainable economy, one that we really need at a time that, you know, part of the reason I believe in cooperation is because we don't know what the immediate future is going to bring, much less the far future. And so to be able to respond and be resilient, I think cooperatives are a large piece of the puzzle.
And they just help build community. They help keep the focus here.
And this is a community radio station, too, by the way, and we call ourselves KPTZ. We are in Port Townsend, where there are many kinds of co-ops, including a food co-op. And this show is Tossed Salad, 91.9 on the radio. I didn't say that. This show is Tossed Salad. I'm Phil Andrus. We're talking about co-ops in general, housing in particular, and the summit, Olympic Cooperative Housing Summit, Quimper Village Common House, Sunday, 3 o'clock until 5 o'clock. One of the assumptions that I hear really right straightforward in what you're saying is there's a connection between co-op housing and low-cost housing. But that isn't necessarily a connection. I think you mentioned the Quimper Village, and I remember seeing the price tag for some of the partnerships in Quimper Village, and that is not low-cost housing. So that has to be a decision made at the outset. How do you go about keeping the cost low, at least for some of the members, if not all of them?
This is something that Jesse and I have been discussing, but one of the things that we want to focus on are people who are interested in doing what we call self-builds, which is to participate in the building process itself, either as an owner-manager type person, and in some cases actually doing the building work themselves. So we have done a lot of that at the Eco Village to not only build our houses, but to build our, well, we'll be building our common house that way, largely.
So you don't have a common house yet?
Nope, but it's all affordable. We are so financially sustainable, I can't tell you. It's amazing.
I think with some of the co-housing experiences, they tend to grow the commons large. So there's, you end up with an excess of capital improvement, you know, and you have to pay for that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think where the savings come is when you're humble and you realize, the commons are for, we have a budget to work with, so we're going to decide how much is in the commons and how much is in our private spaces.
So the commons can be a tent over the lawn. And
exactly.
We'll be happy with that and be there in the summertime.
Yeah.
Or build something elaborate if we can afford it, depending upon our choice.
But just the act of the act of sharing the resources, sharing the equity, and in that you can leverage your standing by maybe lowering your utility fees or connections. There's all sorts of savings along the way in development, because we know that when we develop, if we're going to build one, well, why not build, why not build them both at the same time and right next to each other and utilize the same features? And we know that there's savings there.
Okay.
Go ahead, Vicki.
I was just going to mention one other feature. I think that if you're in a cooperative housing arrangement and you have those shared spaces, that means you can afford to have a much smaller footprint for your own self. And that not only has social benefits and cost benefits, but it has economic benefits and environmental benefits, mm-hmm. because the lower the smaller the footprint, you know, the lower the impact.
So how many square feet is your home?
Mine's 916 for two people.
Have you heard anybody talking around Port Townsend about the possibility of a tiny home community?
Well, the Eco Village
we have a lot with
lot.
Three tiny houses
you
on
do.
It. Well,
wow.
Two that are being built and one that's being planned.
How about communities that are entirely tiny homes? Not yet.
Not here, but we're looking for
elsewhere.
That's a proposal.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think if the goal is to house a certain number of people, you would want to look at what are our options and I think housing a lot of people with tiny houses is maybe not very efficient use of money, because tiny houses are generally sort of they're not,
you would look for multifamily structures of some sort.
Yeah, exactly. But maybe they can fill a gap, like a tiny house community, like the three that or the two
well,
the two
have
that
two.
Are on the lot that Vicky's managing, that kind of fills a little niche and provides an opportunity for the Eco Village to have two more younger families or families that might not fit, and it just diversifies the community even more. So in that situation, the tiny house thing really worked.
You know, sometimes we don't know when what we're talking about has been among us for years and years and years, but I'm thinking of the mobile home parks that are out in Havelock and Irondale, which really do meet the description, to some extent, the description of what y'all are talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
Vicki.
Interesting point is that many of these manufactured housing places are converting into cooperatives.
Really?
Self-owned. Mm-hmm. It's a huge trend. There's like 12 in the state. And it's because, again, you can manage more effectively when everybody's involved, not just some one landlord, and yeah. the landlords haven't been too good at it, such that they failed a lot. But, you know, then the people step up and say, we want to do this ourselves. Mm-hmm. So it's a huge trend.
I think the other...
Go ahead. We'll let Jesse wrap it up.
Sorry, Phil. The other problem with trailers is that they're not safe, affordable housing, and they're not efficient. So,
yeah, but they're there.
Yeah,
and they are housing. Because they're there, especially near to more urban areas, one of the problems that folks are facing as far as affordable housing is sustaining affordable housing.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And that wraps right around those inefficient, unsafe trailers that, in fact, do provide inexpensive housing for mm-hmm. people. Right. And so we do the best we can sometimes with what we have, whether it be a tiny house or Vicky's lovely home or the Quimper Village.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about all those possibilities Sunday.
Yes.
3 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. I think there's a lot. Well, people will have a lot to contribute and share.
Good. Thank you for coming in. Vicky Sante. And Jesse Thomas.
Thank you, Phil.
And thank you to Samuel, whoever you are, if you're listening.